I want to talk to you about running a marathon. How many's ever run a race? How many of you husbands have ever raced your wife? When Linda and I were in college, I see Bob has his hand up back there. When Linda and I were in college, we lived in the marriage dorm. And Farpaw. And upstairs above our apartment was another couple. And they were constantly chasing each other back and forth. From the bedroom to the kitchen and back, you could hear them up there just running all the way. I said, well, they're having fun today. We are, Paul said, we're in a race. It's a race of life. That's the reason why I call it more than a race. I call it a marathon. Marathon's a long race. Sister Hunt is not here this morning, but she ran in the New York Marathon when she turned 50. Wow. So Paul talks about it here in Romans 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, we have a lot of people to look at who have won the race. He's talking about Hebrews 11. You know, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is the hall of fame of those who had great faith in God. From Abraham on down through Moses and all the great prophets of the Old Testament. Well, Paul is referring back to chapter 11. We have these witnesses. We can look at them and see somebody who has accomplished. They've done it. So, we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Paul says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I've got to get ready for this race. You know, there's a beginning and there's an ending. And this marathon of life means that we are running this marathon all of our lives till we reach the finish line, which is heaven. So we got to get ready to race this race. Here's how a lot of us start out. Let me get my bibs on. Yeah, I can do it. Well, let me take my boots off. What was that? No. I got this. What are you saying?
He got fat in his older age. Not you.
You leave. All right. My wallet's too fat. Can you put those up? No funny stuff. Oh, these are newfangled ones. Well, how do they work?
Here, sweetie, let me get that for you.
Oh, I'm not used to this new stuff.
Get these things.
I thought you could do it.
I did.
Oh, all right.
I never thought I'd have to dress them. Well, at least not at this age, maybe a little later. Yeah, you need to, like, get another brain.
Just let that one loose. All right. Well, I got to get the right shoes for running. I won't bother tying them up. They're loose, right? They won't let matter when I'm out here running. Oh. What else I need to run this race? Huh? Ah! Says Ford, doesn't it? Well, I'm not quite ready for this race yet. I need some more. Isn't this the attire you run for a race? Huh? I think I'm almost ready for this race. Huh? Oh, wait a minute. I gotta keep my sun off my head. And I can't go any place without my lucky rock. Now, I'm ready to run. Starter. That's how a lot of us try to run the race of life. Paul said it there, didn't he? You've got a lot of stuff on that you're carrying along with you. And Paul says here, if you're going to run this race of life, this marathon of life, you got to get rid of some stuff. He says, strip off the weight that slows us down. And he indicates that what it is that slows us down is sin. How many of us are born in sin? Shaped in iniquity. So you come with things. All right, Jonah, or Joellen, get it. Don't you dare put that on Facebook. But we start out life with a sinful nature. And if we're not careful and we don't give our lives to the Lord early in life, we add things on to our sinful nature that burdens us down. I need my lucky stone. I can't get... What's that on the back? Lust. Ooh. Will that slow you down? Huh? And that pretty woman walking down the street? Lusting, desiring... Lusting after, I can't get to it now. What are you carrying there?
Money, credit cards.
Credit cards. How much can you charge on your credit card?
None.
Lucky you. I used to have a credit card that I could put $30,000 on. I cut that one up. I never put that on it. I never put any more on my credit card than what I can pay off that month. That's my... But it's there, and it's available. Ooh, I like what I see. I like what I see. Yeah. Somebody asked Rockefeller, how much money's enough? One more dollar. So I've got a lot of stuff I can lust after. A lot of stuff I can desire. Now I'm going to keep my eye on that. Too much trouble to get it back in my pocket. Lust. Well, if I want to run the life, the race of life, the marathon of life, and I want to be successful, and Paul says, I've got to get rid of the weight that so easily, and it's easy to lust after something. I mean, go to the buffet in Waynesboro. After four legs, I want another one. After five, I still want another one. But you know what? I learned to put lust where it belongs. All right, I'm done with you. Whew! I can run a little better now in my race of life. How many think I can still run good? I'm tripping over my shoestrings. I got to get rid of some more stuff. Paul says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily. What's this here? Ooh. Backbiting. Backbiting. Anybody here ever backbite? You're willing to admit it?
Yes, sir.
What is backbiting? Talking about other people behind their back. I've always liked somebody that'll tell me what to think right up to my face. But when I find out somebody's been talking about me to everybody else, you take up for me. Bless your heart. You're one of those witnesses. Backbiting. If I'm bogged down with talking about other people. Brother Eric, do you know what happened this week? Brother so-and-so. And I'm telling you, man, he has given me a fit all week long. That man, I prayed for him the other day and I said, Lord, bless him, even though I don't see how you can. But I have a problem, and it's bogging me down in my journey of life. Backbiting. So what am I going to... God, come down and take this away from me. Still there. Lord, where are you at? I'm praying seriously. Come and take his backbiting away from me. But he's hanging on. How do I get... All Paul said, you have to lay aside. All right, Lord. I like talking about people behind their back, but it's bogging me down, and I gotta, oh my, I feel so much lighter. Here.
Who's happy?
Sorry. Wow, now I can run. Look out now. Here I come. Whew, I'm a quarter of a mile. I'm still having trouble running. What in the world is going on? What's this? Pride? No, pride's the other one. Yeah, Ford. Ah. What's another sin that we carry around? Somebody help me. What's another sin we... Huh?
Worry.
Greed.
Worry.
Worry?
The
Abomination? Boy, that's written all over this. Don't you see it? Man, it's shining right out. Everything. Well, now look. I like some of these things. But Lord, I know I'm having trouble with it. Lord, would you come? Please, Lord, I'm really serious. Would you come and take this away from me? I don't want to do it. I'm tired of doing it. It interferes with my spiritual life, and I don't feel good when I do it. Lord, come please and take this out of my life. What? You do it. Me do it. Me? You're not going to? No? All right. It's not easy. Sometimes it's kind of difficult, but sometimes we need someone else to encourage us. Huh?
Got to get rid of that, brother.
Oh, wow. Wow. No.
I can't take it from you, God.
Oh. Whew. Wow, I'm feeling so much better. Laying aside the sins. While I'm preaching this to you, are you thinking about what's weighing you down? Are you thinking about what's holding you back? The sins that you have? And you know you've prayed about them, haven't you? You've asked God to help you with them. But guess what? He's telling us here who has to do it. We do. Anybody here ever had a big head? Head. Think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Bless God, I've been in Emmanuel Chapel for, I want you to know, 20 years, and I'm in good with the preacher. Nobody ever better. Aha! I've got an inside channel. Guess what's going to have to come off? Not to think more highly of yourself than you. Sweating under here anyhow. My goodness. Wow, I feel better. Got to get my hair in place. Huh? Both of them. You've insulted me twice this morning. I think inside of here is getting even. What's that called? Vengeance?
That's a sin.
Huh? Vengeance is a sin? Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And of course, there is a bit of pride in this. This was Gene's jacket. Gene Benzel. I bought it at his auction. And I cherish this. He was a Ford man. Good man. Ah, my Ford's better than your Chevy. Huh? My Ford's better than anything else on the road. What are you talking about? You got a Ford.
No, I don't.
What? That big bomb you're riding around in?
That's a Chevy.
Oh. Sorry. Pride. Any of us ever been proud? So proud that it kind of... Well, do I have to? Really? Lord, you said, I read it this morning in devotions. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a downfall. Oh, Lord, I love to think highly of myself. Yeah. Won't you help me, Lord? Nope, you're on your own. You got to get it. You got to do it yourself. All right. Whew. I'm feeling better already. Wow, look what all I've gotten rid of. Mercy. I had a lot of stuff carrying and dragging it around on me. Now what? What's this? Huh? These things are holding me back. Oh, my. What could this be?
Sloth.
Huh?
It's sloth.
Slothfulness. Laziness. Got any lazy people in here? Huh? Don't want to work? You want us taxpayers to keep everybody? Huh? This is nice. Like my work boots. Slothfulness. We can name a whole bunch of things, can't we? That we need to get rid of. We need to get it out of the way. Get it off. Move. Now what? I lost my speaker. Oh my, I'm feeling much better. Getting rid of it. How many of you, when you got saved and your sins were washed away, felt a whole lot lighter?
Amen.
Whole lot better in life.
Amen.
I've got to sit down here to get this. Whew. I'm sweating. Wow. I can't give up my cowboy suit. That's me. I identify with that. They're going to put that on me when they put me in the box. You're going to come looking at me and say, he got his black suit on. Oh, do I have to, Lord? That's a little bit of pride. I like that. Yeah, I'll lay it down. Get rid of it. Almost ready to run this race. No. Back in Roman days, they would have kept on going, but not this preacher. Paul gave us instruction. If you've got things in your life that is holding you back, gossiping, you name it. Well, I have a scripture here someplace that says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Lustful pleasures. Idolatry. None of us here have any idols at home, do we?
I did.
You did? You had a crystal, didn't you?
I did, and then I got rid of it.
You broke it up. You asked me what to do with it. I said, crush it. Break it up. Belongs to the devil. Those things we have to put out of our lives. Anything. Idolatry. Sorcery. Hostility. Anybody here have a problem with anger? Huh? Fly off the handle. I'll tell you a thing or two. You cut me off in traffic, I'll let you have it. Preacher stepped all over my toes this morning. I'm not going back to church. Hello? He should have let... Yeah. I heard the story of one fella. Preacher was preaching. And he was naming where people hide their tobacco and their alcohol. You know, they come to church and then they stick it in here or there, you know, hiding it. I've had people do that before. I was riding across Hagerstown some years ago, and a gentleman was coming here to church. You don't know him, and he's not been here for ages, so I can say this. You don't. I know what his name is, but I was going across Hagerstown, and he was at his little boy's ball game, standing at the fence, and I happened to spy him riding down the street, and his jaw was sticking way out. So I pulled over real quick, and he happened to spy me, and he made a beeline for the restroom. And when he came out, his jaw was flat. How'd you guess that? Nasty stuff. But this guy, preacher, was preaching about all the places you hide it. He got home, he said to his wife, "Whoo!" He forgot the feed chest in the barn, so I'm all right. Does God know what we're doing? Bible says He knows the very thoughts that we have. He knows what we're thinking about so and so. I don't love, we walk in church and there they sit. Oh my goodness, do I have to shake hands with them again this Sunday? Huh? So, hatred, hostility, quarreling. How many of you couples ever argue?
All the time.
Cut it out. Lay it down. Throw it aside. It's called communicating. And it's without anger. And so I was, do you hear me? Quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what Paul is saying, we need to get rid of it. We need to lay aside. We need to strip off everything. And whose responsibility is it? It is my responsibility. I can pray all night long, God, come take this desire from me. I can pray till I'm blue in the face. Lord, deliver me from this thing or that thing or the other thing. And God says to me, that's your job. You have to quit looking lustfully. You have to not go to pornography on the computer. You're the one that has to stay away from it. You're the one that when somebody cuts you off or does something, you have to keep your anger under control. You're the guy. You have to lay aside every sin that so easily trips you up. And then he says, let us run with patience. That word patience is endurance. The word means endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, constancy, perseverance. The Christian runner must be determined. He must have true grit. He must be filled with steadfast endurance, letting nothing stop or hinder. When things aren't going the way you want them to go, or you're getting involved in something you know you shouldn't be, and the Word of God or your conscience bothers you about it, then it's time for you to stop it. Absolutely Stop it. You remember some years ago, was it Lady Bird Johnson? We were having such a big drug problem. She come out with this, just say no. Just say no. After all, if you're having a problem with alcohol, who's buying it? Did the devil go buy it from the liquor store and bring it to your house? No. Who screwed the lid off of it? Who lifted it up to your lips? You did. So you simply have to stop. If you have a problem with anger, you have to recognize it. Some years ago, I had a couple come to my study, and he treated her terrible. He had an anger management problem, and he just terrible. He let her out down along 70 one day and said, walk home. Got mad at her. And she had to find her own way back to Hagerstown. You talk about an anger management problem. And he had slapped her. He had, was mean and hateful. And they came to my study. And he was sitting in one chair and she in another chair. And I said to her, tell me everything you don't like about him. And boy, she had a list. And he just sat there. I didn't see his temples moving any. I didn't see him. He just sat there. And after she got finished with the list, and I said, she really don't like you very much. But you didn't say a word. Why? Well, you're here. Isn't God everywhere? Doesn't he see us? If we're having a problem with anger, then we need, he could control it in the right circumstances. You see? Now, maybe, just maybe, don't anybody go home and say, I advertised for you to do this. But just maybe the frying pan will help some of that anger. No. Don't do that. It's in our control. God is saying, we have the control over this flesh. And so it is up to us to run this race with patience, with endurance. I will not yield. I will not give up. Am I going to be tempted? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, again and again and again and again. But every time I'm tempted, I say, no, 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 no. And we gain strength and grace to be able to overcome it. And then he says, you determine in your mind. You know, one thing about this endurance, how many have ever watched the Olympics? I love watching that. I did a little track and field in high school. I enjoyed it. I did gymnastics and the short races, 220 and 110 and those and broad jump and high jump. And I enjoyed that sort of thing. So I enjoy watching these guys performing. But do you know what? It will take them 12, 13, 14, 15 years. Years of constant training. Constant exercise. They just don't get up one morning and say, well, I'm going to go run in the Olympics. It don't happen like that. It takes a lot of endurance. They'll be there for 8 hours a day, training, working, exercising. They watch what they eat. They watch how they sleep. Everything is controlled, and it takes years for them to get to the place where they can win that gold medal or silver medal or brass medal. So it takes a lot of us, bronze. Thank you. If I wouldn't have corrected that, I'd have heard about it after church. It takes us If we're going to serve the Lord and we're in this marathon all of our lives and the end is heaven and that's where we want to get to, then it means we have to have as much endurance about running this marathon of life for Jesus Christ as what those Olympians have to have. And last of all, he said, after you get the endurance down, keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus. That's what he said here. Looking on Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Well, preacher so-and-so on the TV said it's all right to do so-and-so. Shut the TV off. You have to throw it out the door. It's not worth listening to somebody who's not disciplined and ready to run this race. I had a man come here and looked at the sound system yesterday. He was looking all around when he went out the door. He said, we got too many preachers these days not preaching the word. Not preaching the truth. They're letting this in and they're letting that in and they let people do this and that all to draw a crowd and get big money and all of that sort of thing. We need somebody who's going to stand their ground. And where is that somebody who is the example? Who ran the race before us? Jesus. He finished the course, didn't he? He kept the faith. He showed us how it's done. So don't be getting your eyes on preacher so-and-so. Don't even get your eyes on preacher Leg. He might just maybe make a mistake someplace. See there how gullible some people are? Amen. So keep your eyes where? On Jesus. Don't be coming into church and look at brother and sister so-and-so. And, well, I'm going to follow their example. And, well, they should be living a good example. They should be living the life that you can follow. But what if they make a mistake? I remember some years ago when Jimmy Swaggart made a mistake. He sinned. He flat out sinned. And there was a lady that I knew who was so wrapped up in him until she almost lost her faith when he sinned. My eyes are on the infallible one. My eyes are on the one who is above all. The one who has finished the course. The one who has set the example. And it is him that I will follow. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. Amen. He authored, he began, he originated, he created, and gave birth to the Christian race. He is the finisher. That means he perfected, completed, consummated the race. He ran the race and he finished.
Amen.
The idea is that Jesus Christ ran the course of life perfectly. He was sinless, perfect, righteous, always obeying God in everything. He ran the race of faith, of utter obedience and trust in God. All through his life upon earth, he finished his course living a perfect and righteous life upon the earth. Therefore, he created and authored and completed the Christian race for all believers. He is the blazing example of faith in God, of utter dependence and obedience and righteousness for the believer. The believer always is to be looking at the author and the finisher, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you're not as apt to be looking at pride. Because Jesus didn't have pride. You keep your eyes on the Lord, you're not going to be looking at lust. Your eyes will be on Christ. You'll be centered on Him. And every time you look around and see somebody else, you're going to see somebody who needs Jesus. And so your life will be a life that you can live without all of the weights and without all of the drawbacks. You can live free in Him and in His grace, keeping your eyes upon Him. And one of these days, like Sister Pat did the other week, we'll finish the course. Amen. We have kept the faith. Henceforth, He has laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord Himself will give to us. How many want to finish the course and get the crown?
Yes.
All right. If you've got any weights, if you've got any sins that need to be set aside, that need to be thrown off, it's time to, I never thought I'd say this, Emmanuel Chapel, it's time to strip. It's time to get it off. It's time to throw away, strip away the sins. Strip away the inconveniences. Strip away the sins that we commit on a regular basis. Get it down where we are now free to follow Christ. Everybody that can, would you just turn around, get down on your knees. Right where you're at. If you can't, just lean up over the seat. That's all right. Now, if you know you've been burdened down with some of these sins, you've been burdened down with some of these things in your life, they're holding you back from serving God and living for God the way you ought to live for Him. Right now's the time to get rid of them. Right now's the time to say, Lord, I lay this sin down. I lay this jealousy. I lay this anger. I lay this lust. I lay this desire for these things in this old world. This backbiting. I will not talk about anybody again behind their back. I will simply quit these things. I will stop them. And I know by your grace, you will give me the strength and the power to keep on keeping on and run this marathon for your glory. Right now, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all these things to you. Right now, Lord, I give it all up. I refuse any longer to do these things that I've been doing. I want to serve you. I want to run with patience the race that is set before me. I want to be one who will endure to the very end. I will not give up. I will not give in. I'm telling you right now, Lord, this morning, that you and I are going to be here together till the end of this race. I'm going to make heaven my home, and I give up all of this stuff like Paul told me to. I want to run this race and keep my eyes on you.